Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. Today we're going to have our special feature in which we read from the Rock Cliff Review. This is the bulletin that is passed out to those who attend Rock Cliff on Sunday mornings for our worship at 10 o'clock. And receiving this bulletin, there is a feature article which usually has to do with a sermon preached that morning. And the sermon for this particular morning is called Churches of Christ Preach Christ. Well, let me read that to you now. Churches of Christ are known for preaching the church, and I thank God that it is so. In a pluralistic culture that embraces the idea that one church is just as good as another, the churches of Christ are known for preaching God's one church. Christ built his church, Matthew 16:18. Therefore, one church is not just as good as another. It should be evident that the synagogue of Satan we read about in Revelation 3 and verse 9 is not as good as the church of Christ. This one church is just as good as another doctrine has left many believing that no church is just as good as any. Those who do not preach the church do not fully preach Christ. When Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ in Acts 8 and verse 5, they were baptized, both men and women, Acts 8 and verse 12. That was the beginning of the church of Christ in Samaria. The 16-plus local churches that I have been associated with in 7 states where I have lived all preached Christ and His church. It is the distinctive preaching about the church that gets attention. Acts 20 and verse 28 says, "Feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." In this passage, the church of God is the church of Christ, for His own blood is the blood of Christ. When the fullness of Christ is preached, then the church of Christ is preached. These churches should be as well known for preaching Christ as they are for preaching the church. Paul preached Christ in the church. He wrote to Timothy, "That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." 1 Timothy 3:18. The church is the pillar and ground of truth because it upholds truth and preaches the truth. The source of truth is the Word, John 17:17. And the church preaches the Word, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul continued in the next verse, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." 1 Timothy 3:16. The mystery does not mean that godliness is mysterious. It means that the way of godliness was not known until it was revealed. This mystery is great because it embraces the great salvation of Hebrews 2. And verse 3, the words that follow are worthy of a song, and some have suggested that they may have been part of an early hymn. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory, 1 Timothy 3:16. These lines are a summation of the great mystery. And the truth of this great mystery is the truth about Christ. God was manifest in the flesh because it was in the person of Jesus Christ that God made Himself known unto man. Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father," John 14 and verse 9. God was justified in the Spirit because Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit. Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, Romans 1 and verse 4. God was seen of angels. Angels are messengers. Christ was seen of the heavenly angels, to be sure. But in the song, these angels are men with a heavenly message. They were witnesses of his glory, John 1 and verse 14. God was preached unto the Gentiles, because these witnesses preached Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth, Acts 1 and verse 8. God was believed on in the world, because those who heard, believed, and were baptized into Christ, Acts 18 and verse 8. And God was received up into glory, because the resurrected Jesus ascended into heaven, Acts 1 and verse 9, and was made both Lord and Christ, Acts 2:34-36. The living God, in 1 Timothy 3:15, is Christ. Therefore, what Paul called the church of the living God is the church of Christ. The churches that preach these things about God are preaching Christ. And it is the reception, acceptance, and embrace of these things that makes them churches of Christ. Well, that was in the bulletin for that Sunday. And then that was the gist of the sermon that was preached on that day. And I read to you from the Rockcliffe Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with this, we return to our regular Bible studies, and we're studying about the life of Jesus and a harmony of the Gospels. And we have come to the text that talked to us about the Transfiguration. We read about this both in Matthew and Mark and Luke. But the text we're going to be looking at in this radio Bible school is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. And I will read that now. It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took with him Peter and John and James and went into the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became white and dazzling. And behold, there talked with him two men who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which was about to be accomplished at Jerusalem. Now Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they were fully awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they were parting from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. And while he said these things, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my Son, my chosen. Hear ye him. And when the voice came, Jesus was found alone. And they held their peace and told no man in those days any of the things which they had seen. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Luke chapter 9 and verse 35, which says, This is my Son, my chosen. Hear ye him. The devotional reading is the 85th Psalm. There's an inscription to this psalm, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. And now beginning in the 85th Psalm and verse 1. Jehovah, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast broken back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thy indignation toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not quicken us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy loving kindness, O Jehovah, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God Jehovah will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are meet together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springeth out of the earth, and righteousness hath looked down from heaven. Yea, Jehovah will give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall make his footsteps a way to walk therein. We have some geographical notes for this Sunday school lesson. And we talk about this high mountain. Some have thought, well, it may be Mount Tabor. And in fact, if you go to those lands today, you'll find a shrine on Mount Tabor. But this doesn't appear to be the mountain Jesus went to. It is more probable that this high mountain was Mount Hermon, or some spur of it, on a terrace of which Caesarea Philippi was built, and near which Jesus and his apostles were. It is more than 9,000 feet above the sea, and could be seen from almost all parts of Palestine. It is the chief mountain of the Anti-Libyous Range, the mountains of Lebanon, including Anti-Libanaeus, forms the northern boundary of the lands of Palestine. Mount Hermon is frequently mentioned in the Bible. And it was out of a night of prayer that Jesus came to this point, into which there was a transfiguration. We read in Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray." Both Matthew 17:1 and Mark 9:2 says after 6 days, and Luke says about 8 days. Luke counts the parts of the days before and after the entire 6 days. There's no discrepancy. After these sayings, meant after the confession made by Peter and the conversation which followed, and the lessons we have been studying about that. What Jesus and the apostles did during this intervening time has not been recorded. Very much that Jesus did was not recorded. John said in John 21:25 that the books of the world couldn't contain everything that would be recorded, if they recorded at all. Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, the three who stood with him in the death chamber of Jairus' daughter, who a few months after this lesson were to be with him in dark Gethsemane, and who afterward, in Galatians 2 and verse 9, would be called the pillars. These were the nearest to Jesus because they were fitted in character for this position. It was not favoritism or partiality, as they had proved faithful in little. They were prepared for greater opportunities. Learning what was committed to them, they were advanced to higher studies. And this principle is true today. It should encourage us all to noble efforts. The other nine were left at the foot of the mountain. Mark 9:30 says that from thence they passed into Galilee.